Canucks, your daily podcast on the Vancouver Canucks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to today's episode of Locked On Canucks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Nick Bondi, formerly of Daily Hive and Next Misconduct. I'm with here with Lachlan Irvin, a Botchford Project alum. Lachlan, a lot to get into with the Vancouver Canucks today. The roster is once again slowly getting trimmed down. It's starting to take more shape.
Yep. We saw the Canucks lose one player today. Now they're going into tonight's game against the Oilers. Their final two preseason games with a roster more in line with what you're going to be seeing on opening night, with still a few questions to round out the defense and the bottom six for sure going forward here.
Yeah, absolutely. And tonight they're going to be playing the Edmonton Oilers, the debut of Pettersson and Hughes in the preseason. So we're going to get into that. Jonah Gajewicz claimed on waivers by San Jose, a bit of a surprise there perhaps. And we'll end the show with a little bit of assistant captain talk. Who do you think should be the assistant captains for the Vancouver Canucks this upcoming season? But first off, the Canucks are going to be playing the Edmonton Oilers tonight in a preseason action. As we just mentioned, the first preseason game for Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes since they signed their new deals with the Vancouver Canucks. And just looking at the roster that the Canucks tweeted out today, it's pretty NHL heavy, I would say, outside of maybe someone like a Madison Bowie and Carson Folk. It's a pretty NHL experienced lineup, right, Lachlan?
Yeah, I mean, Carson Folk being still here and getting into games is honestly kind of impressive. Out of the guys who I thought might be here the longest heading into the final week of training camp, he was not among them. And that's not necessarily because I didn't think he was skilled enough. I just did not see him as kind of one of those late cuts. I thought he might need a few more years or at least another season to go here. So it's surprising that he's still here. And then you have guys like Sheldon Dries who are still making some noise. Kyle Burrows is still in the mix for the defense. And your boy Nick Batan, he is very much still hanging around. He is very much still hanging around. I think this will probably be, I don't want to say the last game for a lot of these guys, because it is possible that you give them, you know, another one more, you give some of them like that one last look in that final game in Vancouver. But I would say as far as if you're a guy who's fighting for a spot on this team, you have to look at this game like it's your last shot to make it in, because if you don't impress, if they don't feel like they've seen enough from you in this game, this is the make or break where they're going to replace you with an NHL ready guy in the next game, and that'll be it for you. So you want to see a big game from these guys right on the cusp here.
Yeah. And it's a big game for, you know, people like that, people like Zach McEwen, considering what happened to Jonah Gajewicz today, which we'll get into in a few minutes, but big, big time for him. You know, it's been a disappointing camp for him, I think, all things considered, considering his role with the Canucks, you know, last season and in the playoffs. So it's a big game for him as well, right?
It's a big game to see the fact that, yeah, we're going to get a lot closer to we're getting so much closer to having that NHL lineup ready to go. And I think, you know, obviously Pettersson and Hughes being back is going to make such a big difference tonight playing their first games. I don't expect too much from them out of the gate here, but I think they're going to be, I think they're going to be in tough, especially with, I don't believe Horvat is playing tonight. Doesn't look like Hoglander is going to be in here either. It's very much the Canucks have been running with this system of only playing like one of their top two lines for the most of this preseason. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll change again in the last game of the season of the preseason, most likely. But for now, it's a big tryout for the guys who are usually going to be either your third or your fourth line guys, or the blue line guys who are going to be who there's still spots to claim, especially on their right side. There's still plenty of room for them. So you hope you see somebody step up. Like, you hope you come out of this game with a name, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And what are you expecting from Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes and their first preseason action since of course, coming back with the team and signing their new deals. Personally, just don't get injured. That's kind of where I'm at with Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes playing preseason games. We obviously saw what happened last night with Quinn Byfield. Looks like he's going to be out long-term with an ankle injury, which is really unfortunate because he was a high pick. I'm sure the Kings had very high hopes for him this upcoming season. There were, you know, a lot of people were saying they were kind of a sneaky dark horse team in the Pacific Division. You know, a lot of young talent, but they're not going to be having Byfield services for quite a while because of his injury last night. So I'm just hoping they just don't get injured. That's kind of my thing with Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes at this point. I don't think they're going to look tired or anything like that. Again, these guys are professional athletes. They've been training in their own free time. I think they're going to be fine in that regard. But, you know, I want to see him play well, but also, you know, take it easy a bit. Maybe don't block that shot if you're Quinn Hughes, you know, just let it go.
Yeah, I will say I'm not too worried about Quinn Hughes going down and blocking a shot. That's not usually his MO.
Well, we saw Connor Garland do it, and that was scary moments for a few moments.
True, but that is very much Garland's style of play. He's the aggressive, I'm gonna take the huge risk for the team kind of thing, which is, you know, I some people really value that aspect of things, but I think in today's NHL especially, keeping yourself healthy is very, very important. Sometimes that means, don't block that shot from, Shea Weber. I don't think he's playing to start the year for the Canadians, but don't block that hard slap shot coming at you. Just let it go. Your goalie's got it. Give your goalie the lane to see the puck. I think I just expect them to come out and play, you know, the way they always do. It's kind of a situation with Pettersson and Hughes where, you know, you know exactly what to expect from them. You know, they're going to be in on every single shift. You know, they're going to be making plays all over the ice. I guess if there was anything that I want to see from them, it's being able to keep up with this kind of new look Oilers team they're going to be facing off against tonight. It's still a very similar team to last year, but they're going to have a little bit more scoring depth with guys like Zach Hyman in the mix. I think it's going to be a little bit more of it's going to be a much more even looking game tonight than I think it has been in kind of years past, where the Canucks have sometimes had that upper hand on the group. If McDavid and Draisaitl aren't flying, or if those two are flying, it's just an absolute bloodbath. I think you're going to just see that. I think I just want to see them being able to keep up and kind of keep pace with that group.
Yeah, and it's going to be a big game for someone like Vasily Podkolzin, right? Like we mentioned him, he had a great game the last preseason game against Seattle. Before that, not so hot. So it's a big game for him as well. I'm hoping, you know, he solidifies himself in the top nine, which was looking like a lock, I would say, before the preseason started. Now, maybe not so much, right? Like it's been up and down for him, I think, this preseason. So if he can lock up a guy like McDavid or Draisaitl, one of the big Oiler forwards in the preseason tonight, like that would, I think, go a long way to him solidifying a spot in the forward group.
Yeah, I think personally that he's still very much in the, like, I don't think there's any way he's not going to start on the opening night roster. At worst, he's going to be like the 13th guy who like sits maybe the first game in the press box or something. Or like the first like road games and maybe starts at home sort of thing. I don't see a situation where he's not part of this main group, but I think that, yeah, I want to see more of what I saw last game from Podkolzin. Like that was an NHL ready Kraken team. And he was able to, not only was he able to just keep up with that group, he was also able to make some incredible plays, was getting his opportunities, just getting a step faster in that decision-making and being able to improvise when the defense kind of closes in on him. If I can see more of that from him, and I think if the coaching staff sees a little bit more of that from him tonight, I think his odds on getting into this first game are very, very high.
Yeah, big stakes for a lot of Canucks players tonight. They're going to be playing, once again, a very NHL-heavy lineup compared to previous iterations of this team in the preseason. One player that will not be playing tonight for the Vancouver Canucks is Jonah Gajewicz. He was claimed on waivers by the San Jose Sharks. But before we talk about that, I want to talk to you about BetOnline.ag. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hey, Canucks fans. This is Lachlan Irvin with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up just by downloading the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and using the promo code HOCKEY to get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash gets added back right into your bank account. You can cash out at any time to use to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use the promo code HOCKEY to get up to 50 cents a gallon of cash back on your first tank. That's code HOCKEY.
So, Jonah Gajewicz today, just a few minutes ago, prior to recording this podcast, was claimed on waivers by the San Jose Sharks. He was placed on waivers last night by the, or yesterday afternoon, I guess, by the Vancouver Canucks, claimed this morning by the San Jose Sharks. Lachlan, Jonah Gajewicz had, I would say, a decent training camp. I think higher than expectations were coming into the training camp, right? He scored a decent amount in the AHL, but again, that was the AHL. That was a bit watered down, let's be honest, with the taxi squad situation last year. I thought his skating improved a bit, and he obviously scored that one goal, I believe, in Calgary, or maybe it wasn't in Calgary. He scored a goal in the preseason.
That, you are correct.
It was Calgary, yeah. So he looked pretty good in that sense, but I think at the end of the day, he didn't kill penalties, and that was going to be a big thing for the Vancouver Canucks to start the season, and in the season in general, is who's going to kill penalties for this team. He didn't kill penalties. I think that was obviously a big knock against him. And this now, it marks the both of 2017 second round picks by Jimbo, Cole Lind and Jonah Gajewicz, both gone. You know, obviously Cole Lind was claimed by the Seattle Kraken, and he was on waivers at the same time. So both of the Canucks second round picks from the 2017 draft were on waivers yesterday, which maybe is kind of a sad note, but look, my thought, I know you have totally different thoughts on this, Lachlan, but I think my thought on this is it just goes to show once again that it's not just Canucks fans that overhype and overvalue their prospects, right? Like, this happens for every single fan base in the National Hockey League. It's only natural, right? Because, and I've said this on my previous podcast, I'll say it here, prospects are just a blank slate that you can project anything onto. And that's why people get into trouble when they evaluate prospects, because again, the blank slate, you can just project anything. You can go wild with your projections because again, they haven't disappointed you yet. They haven't shown you what they can't do. They can do anything in your mind. And I'm sure you remember this, Lachlan, being a longtime fan and follower of the Canucks. People are penciling in, you know, Jonah Gajewicz and Cole Lind as like middle six wingers, you know, just in 2017, 2018, right?
Oh,
like
those were dark times, but
it was not that long ago, right? And again, you know, every team overvalues their prospects, but because they're a blank slate that you can project anything onto, that's where people get into trouble, in my opinion. And Jonah Gajewicz, hopefully he gets a chance with the San Jose Sharks. You know, you look at that left wing depth, he's not going to be in the top six, obviously. You got Rudolph Balcerres and Andrew Cogliano right now on that left wing. So,
and Jonathan Dolan. Don't forget.
Jonathan Dolan's going to be, at least according to Daily Faceoff, for the top left winger for the San Jose Sharks, which
he's
is
looking good. He's been looking good for them.
Well, he did pretty well in the second division in Sweden, right? So, you know what? Look, all the best to Jonah Gajewicz. I don't know if he was going to be an NHL regular. My guess is probably not, based on what we've seen in the past couple of seasons. But you know what? Lachlan, what are your thoughts on Jonah Gajewicz getting claimed by the San Jose Sharks?
So I'll start by saying that I do agree with you on the sense that, you know, everyone overvalues their prospects. That's very true. Fan bases, management, everybody. They always overvalue the homegrown product simply because they want to believe that those guys are going to pan out.
Especially on bad teams like the Canucks were, right?
Especially on teams that need them to be successful, yeah. Like the Canucks have for the longest time. That being said, I feel the Canucks here, and just knowing how the Canucks have handled their prospect pool over the last however many years under this management group, I think the Canucks losing him for nothing, whether or not he was going to be a regular NHLer, losing him for nothing just a few months after losing Cole Lynn for nothing in the Seattle expansion draft is wild to me. Particularly because of the fact that, A, I think there are players that are still currently on this team, right, that are currently in training camp right now, that I would argue Gadjevich had a better training camp than, who fill almost very similar roles to him that he could have potentially overtaken for a spot, and I think was more warranting potentially of overtaking for a spot than the other guy. Mm-hmm. But instead, they tried to drop him to Abbotsford, and arguably at a time where most people had already been dropped, like at a relatively quieter time for waiver.
Well, I think that was their plan with Gadjevich, right? Was, you know, obviously a lot of teams have not made that many cuts. A lot of teams have bloated rosters right now. Maybe we can sneak this guy through waivers. That's just me speculating what their thought process probably was.
That would be my thought process too. I just look at the way that the Canucks like only gave him about, I believe, two, like a regular season game last year. I think he played, going back to his stats, I believe he only played one game last year. He's only played one NHL game last season. He had a relatively decent AHL year last year in a watered down group, but And that's something that to factor in. But overall, he's looked okay at the AHL level. He'd been working on improving his skating over the offseason. Again, came in with a pretty good training camp. I am more just looking at the fact of they could have given him a longer. I think they could have warranted giving him a longer look as, say, your 13th forward, leaving him on the team, giving him an opportunity to work with the NHL group for a longer extended period of time. And then if an injury comes into play, you throw him into the lineup, see how he does. If it doesn't work, then you move on. Then you move on and you go to the next guy in line, kind of thing. My thought process, and the reason my thought process is there is because of the fact that I've seen this team simply just never give up on certain guys. Like, there are certain guys who have shown over and over again, and we don't need to name some of them. Some of them are gone and playing in completely different leagues now. But where they'll show time and time again that they're not the player the Canucks want them to be and never will be, but the Canucks management refuses to let it go and admit they're wrong and move on from them. And then you see guys like Gadjevich, where you argue that they didn't really get enough of a shot. They maybe didn't get the shot they needed. I get that he can't kill penalties, but In the grand scheme of things, it's more about the principle for me than the player, where they spent so much time with certain players in this organization.
Lachlan, I think both things can be true. I think they should have given Gadjevich a bit longer of a look at NHL training camp and in the preseason. And it can also be true that in the long run, in the grand scheme of things, losing Gadjevich for free isn't really going to matter that much. You know, having Gadjevich on this team is going to be the difference between this team being a playoff team or not.
No, it's not going to move the needle in that regard. Again, and that's why, again, I say it's not so much about the player, it's about the principle of the thing and the idea of, say, you know, clearly San Jose felt that there was some value for Gadjevich. And according to Thomas Drantz, multiple teams actually put in a claim for Gadjevich. So it wasn't just the Sharks. If they didn't claim him, someone else was going to. So that clearly means that he had some value to these other teams. And if you were that, and if you felt that strongly that he just wasn't a fit for your side, then at the very least you say maybe move somebody else who has less value and move them and try and move them through waivers while working to make a deal for him with another team. It's more
okay.
It's about
here's my other thing about trying to trade Gadjevich, right? Like, who is going to give up an asset for a player in Gadjevich who is going to, you know, is going to be available for free? if you know that, you know, these teams know that he's going to be on waivers, why are you going to why try and get
an asset for him? That's exactly the point. If you keep him on your roster as your 13th guy, there's no guarantee he goes on waivers, and that
means something. But then you keep him on your 13th forward, how's that helping his development? If you believe so much in his development, you got to get him playing time somehow. He's not going to develop practicing. We saw that with Mikey DiPietro, right? That just practicing doesn't help a guy's development. Yeah, you have to play, you know, meaningful games.
Yeah, but you can all, and that could have possibly come with the NHL team. At the very least, you're say valuing him as somebody who could be a potential NHL guy by keeping him on your main group and keeping him working with that group, hopefully getting him into a game. Frankly, at least just getting him into more preseason games at the very least. There was an opportunity. I think the thing is, there was an opportunity there that they could have recouped an asset, even if it was just barely anything, even if it was just another prospect.
Again, who's given up an asset on a player that they could get for free?
Someone might have. If there was that many teams willing to claim him, there's that many teams who clearly felt he had some sort of value to their team and would have potentially made an asset available to pick him up. That's kind of what.
So
that's
what would you get for Gadjevich in a trade?
It might have been nothing. It might have just been a seventh rounder or a sixth round pick. Absolutely, like a small thing. But it's just that fact of they, instead of trying to make something work there, they cemented it that they would get nothing. They cemented getting nothing for him.
I just think in the long run, losing Jonah Gadjevich on waivers is not going to make or break this Canucks team.
I think people
are still in the mindset that Jonah Gadjevich is a prospect. He's 23 years old. Like he is what he is at this point. It's very rare that he's got. Yeah, it's very rare that a guy at 23 years old suddenly develops into something totally different, right? Like by the time you're 23, your path in the NHL is pretty much set in stone, one way or another. You know, by the time you're 23, you should have a role carved out in the NHL in some way. So, I just don't see a guy like Jonah Gadjevich moving the needle that much on a team like the Sharks, right? You know, we talked about their forward depth. He's not playing top six left wing. Rudolph Balcerres, he's another guy who had a pretty good AHL season. Is he going to be replacing him? Andrew Cogliano, long time NHL vet. Is he going to be replacing him in the San Jose Sharks lineup? I don't know. So I think both things can be true. I think they should have given him longer in the camp, but also at the same time, is Jonah Gadjevich that big of a deal losing on waivers? I don't think so, given, you know, based on his track record. He wasn't really doing much prior to last season's shortened AHL season, which we've discussed, a bit watered down because all the best AHL players for each team were on their taxi squad around the team, not playing in the AHL. So, and it just goes to show, again, both of Cole Lind and Jonah Gadjevich were on waivers yesterday. Both of the 2017 second-round picks for the Vancouver Canucks on waivers yesterday. Just goes to show, once again, first of all, drafting is obviously not an exact science, and you know, people just love to wildly project things on prospects because they're, again, they're a blank slate. Not every fan base does that, but you know, Canucks fans in particular, I think, are susceptible to overhyping prospects, especially from around then, because the team was terrible and you have to have hype on something.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I'd single out, say, the Canucks fans in that regard. Again, I think you're right in the first place that every team does it. Like,
yeah, maybe, you know what? Yeah, I will apologize to all Canucks fans listening to this podcast. You know what? It's because I pay attention to the Canucks more than ever, and true. You know, more than a lot of other teams, and I just see it more often.
You see them the most, exactly. I will say that if there is a loser here today, if anything, it's Abbotsford. Abbotsford really could have used Gadjevich. They're a better team. They're a good team. They're going to be a pretty decent team this year, but Gadjevich is going to be a big part of
that. And it would have been interesting to see if he did go through waivers, what he would have done in the AHL with Abbotsford.
Yeah.
And maybe we would have gotten a lot of minutes. With the team he used to cover in the San Jose Barracudas.
That would be very interesting to see if they try and drop him to the AHL. Somebody tries. Well, maybe somebody else tries and claims him. You never know. It might be. It'll be interesting to see if somebody else tries. If he ends up shuffling around a couple times this season, but we shall see.
And sorry, I have Twitter up on here on my second screen, and I saw someone just tweet out that, oh no, we lost Jonah Gadjevich to the Pacific Division rival. Like, it's not that serious. It's not that big a deal.
No,
it's just going Jonah Gadjevich, buddy. So next we're gonna talk about the assistant captains for the Vancouver Canucks. Who do you think should be the assistant captains on this team in the upcoming season? Obviously, Jonah Gadjevich wasn't going to be one of them, but you know what? There's a few good options out there that I think we can discuss. But before we do that, a word from our sponsor, Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now possible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and Rock Auto prices are reliably low for each customer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Okay, Lachlan. So a preface for this section. I swiped that right off of Canucks Reddit. That's why I was just browsing it last night. I saw, you know what? This is an interesting topic because
I've not been on Canucks Reddit in years. It has been a while for me.
I was lurking last night and I saw this topic, and you know what? It's pretty interesting. So Brandon Sutter is obviously going to be out for the regular season. So there's going to be a hole in assistant captains to start for the Vancouver Canucks this upcoming season. So Lachlan, I'm just gonna say right off who I think should be a couple of the assistant captains. I like JT Miller. I think JT Miller has that raw leadership that I like from an assistant captain. And I think Tyler Myers is another natural candidate. He has the experience back on the blue line. He's been here for a while. He's a bit older than someone like Quinn Hughes. Say what you want about Tyler Myers' defensive abilities. I think the guys in that room respect him. So Miller and Myers would probably be my two choices for assistant captain. But there's a lot of good choices out there, Lachlan. So what do you think?
So I will say that when I was at the Canucks Seattle game on, I guess this would have been Tuesday, this would have been Tuesday. I did see, one thing I noticed was I did see Tanner Pearson wearing an A. Now, that could just be for a preseason game. I believe they usually will hand out the A's to just whoever's the most veteran guys on the ice for those games, in case someone needs to talk to the referees. But I could be wrong. But maybe he's got the inside track here.
Stanley Cup experience, it'd be a good choice.
Yeah. Yes, very true. I'm gonna say here though, like I am very adamant that, you know, I think people sometimes make a little too much of a big deal about, you know, where the captain, the assistant captaincy goes, particularly when it comes to like who you're giving it to. So like, I always see things like, let's say like whenever a young guy is brought up in the conversation, like even a guy like Brock Besser, it would be mentioned. It's like, well, he's young, you know, you don't want to put that extra pressure on him. It's a target on his back kind of thing, sort of whatever. It's going to make him a bigger, make people focus on him a lot more. I don't actually really think that's true. I think they're going to focus on those guys a lot rather or not.
They focus on Brock Besser because he's a good player, not because he has an A on his shirt.
Bingo. And which is why I'm honestly at the point where I'm like, okay, I think it's pretty clear that as far as the long term, as this franchise's long term is concerned, Elias Pettersson's part of this team going to be a part of this team for a long time to come. Just give him the A now. Like, you know, he's already part of that group. You already know he's in the room talking, you know, he's a big part of how they win games. I think he should just have one at this point. If you want to go for a veteran aspect, I think OEL is probably going to be an interesting fit there.
Yeah, if we're going, especially in Arizona,
he was the captain in Arizona for quite a while. I think the only one other than Shane Doan for that franchise, or at least for in recent history anyway. And I would say, frankly, I think I'd be more likely to see him get it than say Tyler Myers. Cause Tyler Myers, I believe, is a bit of a quieter guy. He doesn't strike me as a big motivational rah, rah kind of player.
Yeah, I was just basing mine on seniority in different positions.
Very true.
Right?
And you're right to do that. Cause most teams are going to look at it that way. I think Miller is a very good choice. I do want to see Brock in there. I know the one thing that I do that you do have to factor in is that assistants and captains always are going to be relied upon to talk to the media a little bit more. Bo Horvat is obviously very good at that. Elias Pettersson is relatively good at that. Miller, I'd put in there as well. Pearson, et cetera. Brock Besser is a guy who I would love to see as an assistant captain, but he isn't necessarily a guy you go to for quotes very often. He's a much quieter type. He's a bit of a quieter guy, at least with the media and the public sphere. And so, you know, maybe he would be a good choice. It would just be interesting to see how he handles that aspect of pressure, I guess. I think Pettersson would be a good choice. I think, OEL in there. And then if you want to throw in a third, I do like Miller or Pearson. I think either of those guys would be a very good option.
I'm surprised you didn't mention, Quinn Hughes at all.
I think Quinn Hughes is still, you know, learning. I think
a bit of a quiet guy as well.
He is a bit of a quieter guy. I think, especially when it comes to navigating with the media and everything, I think he's still very much figuring that part out. And, you know, that very much takes time. I was always very impressed with, like, say, with, like, Horvat, for example, who honestly felt like he was a captain by his sophomore year. He felt like he was very chatty, very in there. You know who I really wanted to see as a captain, who I felt would have been a great assistant captain had he not had the Canucks chose to keep him on the roster, was Troy Stecher. I honestly thought Stecher would have made a great
captain. He would have been good. Captain. He would have been good.
Yeah. I think Miller is probably in there. I think Miller and Pearson, for the reasons we both mentioned, on the fact that they're a little bit more, they're good for talk. They're good at talking. I think they would end up being a big part of that group. You know, maybe we're not even factoring in, say, Connor Garland, just because we don't know him as well. We're not as familiar with his style. But yeah, right now I feel like very much the inside track goes to, the Millers, the Pearsons of the world, the OELs, the guys who have a history of doing this sort of thing. And then a young guy, probably Elias Pettersson. I feel like he should have the inside track to one of those A's.
Yeah. A lot of good choices out there for the Vancouver Canucks, assistant captains, but that has it today for today's episode of Locked On Canucks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making Locked On Canucks your first listen of the day. And you can make sure your second listen of the day is Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Scott Cullen leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available on all platforms. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Canucks. You can follow me on Twitter at Nick Bonnie. You can follow Lachlan Irvin at Lock in the Crease. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel as well, because we'll be posting full video episodes on there daily. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.